FM, located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. I have something very exciting happening today. I have a real live person in the studio with me. Very, very exciting. I have a local Vancouver musician, Luke Beach Brown, with me. Do you want to introduce yourself? Just say hello.
Hello, how are you guys doing? It's also Bown.
Bown?
Bown, not
is
Brown.
It? Oh my goodness. I have been misreading this whole time. That's crazy.
It's okay.
I
know. It happens a lot.
My bad. That's so funny. I just like automatically in my head just read through and I was like, Brown. Bown. Okay. Very nice. Where does the beach come from? Is that a real name or is that added?
It's not. In? But, you know, I like the image of a beach, so.
Okay. And it rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, exactly.
Bound. Wonderful. Well, we are going to be chatting about Luke's music, inspirations, and latest song, Lullaby, as well. We are also just going to be chatting music in general. I thought that we could start off with a couple fun questions just to get us in the mood. One of them is wrong, as it turns out, because I based them on your name. So I'm gonna try to improvise, you know.
Sounds good. Yeah.
So my first question was, Luke. The first thing that I think of when I hear the name Luke is, for some reason, 5 Seconds of Summer, because maybe there was a member in that boy band whose name was Luke.
I can honestly see that.
I think so.
Yeah.
So my question was, if you could go back in time and you could join any cheesy boy band that has ever existed, it can be anything from like One Direction to like Brockhampton, which one would you choose?
That's a tough one. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd be cool enough for Brockhampton.
Okay.
I think they would
kick
me out. I just
wouldn't
fit in. I think, One Direction would be amazing, but also it would be hard because then you'd have Harry Styles running the whole ship.
True.
And then, Yeah, okay. You know what? Who are the people that sing, I want it that way? Tell me why ain't nothing.
Is that NSYNC?
Maybe.
Or is that not NSYNC?
I don't know.
What's the Backstreet Boys?
Backstreet Boys.
Is it the Backstreet Boys?
I'd join the Backstreet Boys. That's
Whoa.
Who it would be. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry, listeners. I did not know the Backstreet Boys until just now. It took me a while.
Yeah, I feel like it's better to know the song than it is to know who sings it.
That's fair. It's like Tears for Fears. Like people just know everybody wants to rule the world. But
exactly.
Like, even the band playing, they'll be like, so most people know this song, but they don't actually know us.
That's funny. I feel like especially with TikTok nowadays, that's a big thing that people will listen to music and will be like, oh, you know that one song, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, yeah, I know the song, but nobody knows who sings it or like who performs it.
Or they'll like, I know a quarter of the song, actually know the rest of it. They're like, whoa, what song is this? And then they get to like the bridge and they're like, oh, wow, this is slaps.
Well, you were wearing a Steve Lacy hoodie when you came in, and I feel like he's the perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Where, like, people will go to his shows and like not sing along, and then like choruses will come up and they'll be like, oh my god, like this is my song. And he's like, what?
I mean, I think it's like leveled out now for him a little bit, but it definitely
good.
Is like, when like Bad Habits blew up,
that's
was like, most people were just going for like part of the one song, and then Dark Red would play, which is like his other most famous song, and most people didn't even know it. And like, so then you see these videos of him getting just mad on stage. People are like, how dare he? Like, you know, like, are we allowed to swear or
mildly.
It's on the air, okay. Well, forgive me, listeners. I'll try my best not to. Like, they wouldn't even know the, like, choruses or, like, any of it. And he's like, are you kidding me? But then people are like, oh, well, he's so ungrateful for his success. But it's also like, I mean, if you've played to a cult following for a long time and then suddenly it's just a bunch of, like, random people who don't even know you and most of your fans don't get to go there, like, that does kind of suck.
I agree. Would you rather, would you rather go to a Lorde concert and get shushed or go to a Steve Lacy concert and get yelled at?
Oh, well, I don't think Steve would yell at me because I'm a
You're
fan.
An OG.
I respect Steve, you know. Like, not that I don't respect Lorde, but I respect Steve, you know.
Okay,
I'd make sure. I would sing along to all the songs.
Okay, good. Okay, good for you.
I'd be okay with Lord shushing me. I'd be like, yeah, you know what? Like, fine, take your reins. Yeah, do your thing, you know. But also, it's like, come on, like, don't get mad at me for being passionate about your song, because it's like the reverse thing. I am literally singing to your song, and you're shushing me. Versus Steve's getting mad at people for not singing his song. It's like complete opposites.
It's like yin and yang.
Yeah, I think Steve's more just in it. Lord, I think agree. It's just like, come on, you're in a freaking like arena. Like, you really think everyone's gonna be quiet? Like,
I think if she had addressed it in a way where before the song she was like, hey, I really want this song to be like quiet. Quiet and personal. Yeah. Like, if you guys don't mind, like, not singing along, I'd be like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But if you start and people are still singing along, like, womp womp.
Yeah. That's it's my... like, yeah. Sorry, Lord.
Sorry, Lord.
No, Lord.
Next question. Beach. Okay. What is your favorite beach in Vancouver?
Ooh. Spanish Banks, but it's the I shouldn't say this on the air because I don't want people to go
secret
there.
Secret spot.
But well, I mean, it's not like the most secret. Okay. It's just Spanish Banks, but it's the last beach there on the last like parking lot.
Okay.
Well, there's technically the one that goes up the road, but there's one that's like, while it's kind of flat.
Okay,
it faces like northwest kind of. And there's a bunch of trees around it, so you don't really see much of the city at all. Uh-huh. And, like, I just go there this whole summer and just, like, read a book. Like, I usually don't do that stuff, but, like, this summer I did, and it's, like, it's pretty awesome.
That's so nice. Yeah. That's really, really nice. I do love, like, a quiet beach.
Mm-hmm.
I remember during, like, quarantine, I was like, oh, like, the beach is going to be such a good place to go because it's going to be so quiet. And then I remember, like, going to Kids Beach one day, and I was like, literally the whole of Vancouver is here. It was crazy. Like,
what are we all going to do?
What are we all doing?
Like, beach.
Okay, well, I thought a fun little activity that we could do since you are here live in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a break with the first one because I've made a pick, but I thought that throughout the show, you could pick the songs that we play. So if you have maybe one of your songs you want to talk about, or one of your songs that you just like haven't listened to in a while and want to play, or just something that you want people to hear, you know, you can, I'll let you know when we're going to play a song and you can make a recommendation.
Okay.
But
sounds good.
I'm going to start off because I'm going to play my favorite Luke Beachbound song, and it is Cherry Blossom Hair.
Oh.
So that's what we're starting with. Like it or not. And then from now on, you can make your picks. Here it is, Luke Beachbound, Cherry Blossom Hair. was Luke Beachbound with Cherry Blossom Hair. That's my favorite song of yours. And I thought now that we've kind of had this little song break, we could talk a little bit more about music.
Okay.
I wanted to know how you started as a musician. What's the lore behind yourself as a musician? How did you get interested and started?
I started because I wanted to be like Skrillex. I wanted to make EDM music and I wanted to be a DJ. And so I bought a recording software and made a bunch of really bad electronic music for a while.
Okay.
And then got like okay at it.
Okay.
And then by the time I got okay at it, I realized that I really liked indie music
okay.
and like alternative
okay.
and like rock music. And then like totally like switched to doing okay. that instead. But I spent time making and
wow.
recording stuff, so
okay.
it kind of fed into it,
uh-huh.
and then now we're here, you know.
And I feel like it gave you a lot of good background for the like recording and mixing and mastering
mm-hmm.
side of things.
Yeah.
Wow, I was not expecting I was expecting, Bob Dylan, that kind of
I mean, we got to Bob Dylan at one point, but yeah, it started with Skrillex. Well, Green Day and then Skrillex,
okay.
but
okay.
Skrillex was the, like, I'm going to, like, make music
okay.
because of this person.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're listening in. I'm sure they're, like,
I'm sure.
We can tell.
Sonny Moore, if you're there, I appreciate you.
Would that be your dream collab? Would Skrillex be it? Or is there another musician you'd love to collaborate with?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I think a dream collaboration, does have to be realistic or could it be like someone who's dead?
It can be crazy.
Oh, I mean, it might be basic, but David Bowie would
okay.
probably.
Ooh.
Although that being said, I don't know if our voices would go together. I feel like he would just be like, you know, I would just make like a background tune and be like, hey, David, do you want to like maybe sing on this song, please?
Be like, okay.
Okay.
Okay, I feel like that's a really good. If you could open up for anyone on tour, would it also be David Bowie?
Oh, I would probably pick like. People don't really talk about Mac DeMarco in this scene as much. I don't know why. Like, because he was he moved away, but like he was a big part of it like 10 years ago. And he would be a big person that I'd like to open for. I think he's someone that's like arguably one of the most influential people like in
okay.
the indie space
in
to some degree. Yeah, I mean, obviously there's been people since then,
yeah.
but people don't really acknowledge it that often. It's almost like they're like, it's so basic to talk about Mac DeMarco like you're a fan. It's like, yeah, you know what? He's probably one of my favorite artists. Like, yeah. Oops. Sorry. Smack in the studio.
Okay, fair enough. Mac DeMarco would be, and I feel like he'd be like a fun person to go on tour with as well.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you feel, because Mac DeMarco, like you said, is from close-ish to here. I think he's from Duncan, right, on the island?
I don't know. I know he's from Edmonton, then moved here, and then went to Montreal.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, we have different lore from Mac DeMarco.
But hey, maybe that's true.
Really?
If you're listening, we're not fully sure, so you know, do your own research, listeners, please.
Please don't trust everything that you hear on the radio. Okay, well, Mac DeMarco's from Canada.
He's from Canada. We know that for sure, yeah.
And he might somehow be related to Vancouver region. So I wanted to ask, because I know that you're obviously quite connected in terms of, you know, UBC's music community, but also the community in Vancouver. And how would you say that that's maybe influenced not only your music, but just yourself as a musician?
Oh, it's a complicated question. I feel like it's definitely, there's a lot of really good musicians in the city. And I think because partly I work as like a visual artist and like creative director with musicians, that definitely affects it because I engage with their work slightly differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I also get really inspired by them too. And I feel like that, though I still like have my own things that I like, I feel like there's a lot of like punk music in the city that's gotten more. There's the punk scene's grown quite a bit in Vancouver since COVID, I'd say. I feel like that's definitely influenced me. I think that might be the biggest thing that's shifted my music that I make, because it used to be all like, butterflies, fairies, and now it's like, dark, angry, a little bit more dark and angry. It's still kind of butterflies and fairies, but it's like both, you know? It's like an eclipse.
Whoa. It's deep. That's really deep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you also, we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but with the First Floor Collective, you also kind of connect with musicians in the city as well. Do you find that the music scene in Vancouver is a supportive one? Do you think that they're quite, you know, welcoming to musicians? Or do you find that maybe, like, it's a little harder to get into the scene?
It's definitely clicky for sure. Mm-hmm. Anyone who tells you otherwise is lying. It 100%. I think there are scenes, like the punk scene is a little bit more, like, accepting to a degree, but I think also there's a lot of people in the city that have been hurt by people, and I think that's part of it with it being clicky. I think it's out of protection for your friends. You see a new person you've never met before, and even if they seem like a nice guy, people are kind of guy or girl, but you know, like, people are a little bit standoffish, and I think it's fair because I think a lot of people, you know, they trust someone and then, you know, that trust is betrayed. So I get it, but it is tough sometimes because sometimes, you know, there's people that are just genuinely nice people that, you know, no one's speaking to them at, like, a show or anything. And that's not always the case, but it definitely, there is surface tension. And then once you kind of break through that, it can be really welcoming and, like, supportive. But, yeah, it's sometimes a little bit hard to get in. I found myself, like, for, like, the first couple of years, it really, until there's someone that kind of advocates for you, it's a little bit hard sometimes. But also, like, people that just show up consistently to shows and support, that's noticed for sure. Like, anyone that's listening that's like, how do I get into the indie scene? Like, if you go to shows and you support and you care about it, and not that, like, if you really like the music here, keep going to the shows. Keep going to it and keep supporting it. And people do notice that. And I feel like people become a bit more welcoming and warm to you over time when that happens.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, you know, Vancouver in general has a little bit of a wariness towards like newcomers, and especially in the music scene. Like, I definitely remember when I first moved here, I was like, oh my goodness, music, I'm going to be there all the time.
Yeah.
And then I'd kind of show up and like people would be like, who is that?
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, maybe not, you know? But I think that it is, like you said, consistency and, like, dedication to, you know, and just, like, chatting to people and getting to know people in the industry as well and in the community, I think, is good.
Yeah.
Do you have a song that you thought of that you would want to play?
I mean, it's, you know, it's a little bit basic, but Lullaby.
Okay.
I'll play that. Yeah.
Great. Okay, this is the song Lullaby. I'm going to press the right button this time, and the song's going to start immediately. Yay. Here it is.
Just behind the plaid dress up in the sky, please.
great segue, Luke. let's talk a little bit about Lullaby. It is your most recent single.
Yeah.
Let's talk maybe about the process of writing it. How do you come up with a song idea? Do you like prep yourself, or is it like, oh my goodness, I had a dream and I woke up and I'm going to make a song?
I think it's both. Like, I think like, I don't know, like that song happened really fast, actually. Okay. Like, I was going to put out different songs that were older, and then I made the like guitar line, had the drums, and then I was like, ooh, this is nice. And then I usually don't make stuff with other people around, but like my best friend Arkin was like chilling in my room, like on my bed, just hanging there. And I just like shat the whole thing out, essentially. Okay. And then it was like, ooh, I like this. It's a little bit darker too, which I was kind of like, kind of was where I was wanting to go with things a little bit. And then, it like happened pretty quickly, but it was like, this feels right. It's music that I'm excited about, and I am not going to like stick to this plan and formula of like how I'm going to like, it, honestly, the best part of being a small musician is that you don't have to stick to a release like cycle. You can kind of just break it. As you get bigger, that does change. And so take advantage of that if you're a smaller musician or artist. Like, and I was like, you know what, like no one cares, and I like this more than older stuff. This feels more like me. And so that was kind of nutshell was what happened.
I definitely love when people have more freedom to kind of release whatever they're feeling in the moment.
Yeah.
I find a big thing, like you said, with bigger artists is they'll be like, oh, I wrote this like a little while ago. I've kind of gotten over it. Like, I don't really feel this anymore, but now I'm having to release it. And also I'm going to have to perform it every single time.
Yeah.
So I get that can maybe be like a block sometimes.
Yeah, it's tough because that's like the traditional way of releasing stuff is you make a record and then it's like you sit on it for like 6 months while you're making all the promotion material. And that's 6 months after you even finished recording it. So it's been written for probably like a year or so. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go play it and everything. And it's like, not that it isn't good, but you lose that kind of like freshness of like, I just made this thing and I'm like so genuinely excited about it. I'm not searching for the excitement, you know?
Definitely.
Which is kind of cool. I think it's the best part of like TikTok and the internet, to be honest, is it's like, make a song, it does really well. Ah, okay, let's just put this thing out, you know? Like, screw the whole like, you know, promotional cycle.
That's true.
Funny that, you know, it can be that way, but it's kind of sweet, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. Who was it? There was a musician. I think it might have been Doja Cat with Say So, where she just like didn't want to sing it anymore. And so every time she does, she just like does it not very excitedly. And then people are like, okay, well, just stop singing it. I don't know if it was her. Maybe it was someone else. But I seem to remember watching a video of like one of those bigger artists like performing like their hit song and just being like so fed up with it. But
that sucks, though, because it's like, you know what, like, fair, that might be the case, but it's also like for a lot of people, like that song is like the one, like that's the song that, and it's like, if it is Say So, that song's really catchy.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're spending all this money to see your favorite artist, which you're spending a lot of money to see your favorite artist. So it's like, come on, like at least like, I know it sucks, but it's like, there is some like responsibility of like, if you're going to charge that much, like, play the big hit. Like, it's 3 minutes. Like, come on, you know?
I agree. Yeah. I agree. If I had a big hit like that, I'd play it every day.
I would sing it in the shower.
You guys could all come listen. So you mentioned a little bit about your creative process. I wondered if there are places that make you more inspired. You talked about like going and reading on the beach. You talked about like kind of making music in your bedroom. Is there like a specific area where you like to make music, or is it like you could be sitting right here and just like take it away?
I think there's not really a specific area, but like moving around and seeing new things, even if you're not getting the idea right there and then, is good. Like traveling, I think, is really good. Like, it's like traveling is like doing psychedelics. Your brain is like flooded with so much new like information where you're just like, whoa, oh my god, like this all exists. I never even saw it. Like, I went to the East Coast of Canada. I've never even been to it in the US, but of Canada this last summer, and it was like, whoa, this is like, it's so much, even though it's like familiar kind of, it was still like, I've never been in this pocket of the world. It was like new, like mini map unlocked. And so I feel like those things are cool because it's just like new information and new experiences just like get you excited, make you feel things that you haven't felt in a while or just things that you've never felt before. And I feel like that is good fuel for making stuff.
I agree. Yeah. I love the mini map.
Yeah.
Good review. Okay, wonderful. And talking a little bit more about just that process again, do you find that you have an order in which things come to you? Like, I know that you also like play like some of the instruments that are in your music. And do you find that comes first? Do you find that like you're playing the guitar and you're like, ah, inspired, or is it vocals, or is it lyrics? What's the order?
Yeah, I usually start with chords.
Okay.
Some people I know, they start with like a melody and stuff. Mm-hmm. For me, it's chords. I'm like obsessed with, because chords are like, I see it as like, it's like a foundation to a building. Mm-hmm. You know, you gotta have that like bass layer, and then from there, you know, you can make the chords fast, you can make them slow, but you can kind of feel like the what this is gonna go into, you know. And then from there, usually like a basic drum beat, but I feel like chords and lyrics are kind of the chords and like vocal melody. Okay. So sometimes it's just like, like you're not saying anything, but like it's like you're getting kind of like a melody and flow to it. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that part, because I don't listen to lyrics all that often. I know some people do, and so they'll hate me for this. But I feel like if the melody and flow and the chords are good enough, you can forgive bad lyrics or more basic lyrics. That being said, sometimes lyrics paint the dumbest pictures in your head, and you're just like, ugh. Like, don't put it on a plate for me and lay it out there. You got to make me piece things together, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so there's a balance, but I feel like the chords and melody are most important to me.
I agree with chords and melody. I definitely start with chords and then kind of like have the vocal melody.
Yeah.
But I will say I'm a big lyric. I love a lyric. And so I remember once we were listening in class a little while ago to Michael Jackson writing Billie Jean. And it was so interesting. You should check it out because it's like him with the music kind of like, like exactly what you were doing, where he's kind of coming up with this like vocal melody before even having the words, and it's very interesting. So maybe that's also where you get like inspiration without even knowing it, is from that kind of music, you know?
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, it's aside from the person who made Billie Jean, the song is incredibly catchy. And there's like a you know, like there's like, I think there's something where you're like, oof, like, it's not just someone who like had the words. It's like there's like a felt kind of like, oof, you know. And I feel like that's like, I feel like you have to be like I don't know, a musician first before a writer or a poet, I guess.
Next song, Luke, what are you interested in?
Oh, next song. Oh man, I really should have come here prepared for this.
I can name some. You can choose one.
Yeah, I am gonna. I'm probably butchering it, but it's "Do You Know the Truth" by Passion Mango.
Ooh,
it's great. Like Connor did not promote this song at all. But it's like probably my favorite song that is out by them. I love it.
Okay. Do You Want the Truth by Passion Mango?
Ooh,
that's
and
cool.
Emily Gordon is also featured on it too.
Okay.
Gotta give the shout too.
I've never heard of Passion Mango, so I'm pretty excited about this.
Yeah, they're great.
Here. Bye.
Passion Mango from Vancouver. I hadn't heard about them, so that's a good pick. That was a good song. I enjoyed that.
I love it.
And so I wanted to talk, as I had mentioned, a little bit about the First Floor Collective.
Yeah.
This is something that you have kind of created with your friend, and you guys have kind of made this little, like, future empire, which is really cool, and bringing a lot of people together and a lot of art together, which I love. Could you tell us a little bit about First Floor Collective?
Yeah, so my bestie, Arkampal, and myself, we started it. Well, we didn't really realize what it was going to be, and we're still figuring that out right now. But we started making music videos like right before COVID. COVID came in, shut everything down, got back in the fall of 2020, immediately started making stuff again. And then really it was like in, and then we started making short films for a period of time. But then in 2022 is when we started like working with like clients and musicians. And that's when we met our good friend Tim from Kingfisher Blues Records. One of the most supportive people in the Vancouver scene. He's been in it for like 20 years. And he does this annual Christmas show every year in December, arguably the best live show in the scene. It's great. You get to see so many musicians in the indie scene, and everything's donated to the Crisis Center to basically help, like, suicide prevention. Mm-hmm. But that, me and Arkin did all the visuals and the live stream for it a couple of years ago, and we kind of met, like, a bunch of musicians mm-hmm. all at once, and we did all the live coverage as well, so it was like this weird like, oh, this is a great, like, the doors have opened mm-hmm. to the music scene a little bit. And then we just like filmed a bunch of live shows after that, and then it's almost 2 years now, we put on our first show with Tim from Kingfisher Blues, actually at the Fox. And then we kind of, it was a trial run because we, you know, filmed a bunch of shows where we were like, we should just try putting our own on. And that was a big kind of change because I think after that it started, we started putting on a lot more shows this last year, essentially. And I know I'm kind of rambling here, but honestly, like, the biggest goal that we've been focusing on is really like uplifting like the music scene in the city, because there's so many like musicians that, you know, people are not giving them chances to be on bigger stages when they 100% should be and can actually sell tickets there. Spank Williams, easy example, just sold the Rickshaw out about like a month ago. And almost a year ago, we put Spank on at the Hollywood Theater as a headlining show. And he didn't sell it out, but he sold a lot of tickets mm-hmm, there. Mm-hmm. And then also Devours recently at the Rickshaw Theater almost sold it out. We worked with Devours 2 years ago at our show. I'm not saying that like we put Devours on or anything, but Devours is like, you
I
know,
create.
Yeah. But Devours also just recently kind of like proved that it's like, no, like local musicians can mm-hmm. sell out venues that are big venues. And like that is kind of changing now in the city, or it's, you know, it's happening a bit more now. Mm. And that's been a big goal with our shows, is really kind of like making sure that like local artists really get their time to shine, because there's so much good music that's happening in the city, and it's not just like nepotistic like let's put our friends on. It's just like, no, these musicians are so good, they need to be like, people need to go see them. Yeah, like they should be so much bigger than they are, and I think they will be, you know, but it's people aren't taking chances on them.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting to see, because I know when I came to Vancouver, I obviously didn't know any local musicians.
Yeah.
And I would kind of only go to, like, oh, the neighborhood are here, let's go to that kind of thing. And then it's only in the last few years that I've been wanting to go to more, like, local musicians and local shows. And it's really cool seeing some of the people that you kind of hear about from word of mouth when they're starting out, and you're like, oh, they're playing like this place, and then like a couple years later they'll be like at the Hollywood or at like the Fox or all these different places. And it's such a really fun thing to see all these like deserving like local musicians, you know, make their way through. So that is exciting. I'm excited for when you're like selling out Rogers. That's my next goal.
Give it a couple of years, you know.
So I'm going to play a song next. I'm going to play a song based on really liking the title, because I think it's very fun. This is one of your songs, and it is going to be That Time I Blacked Out in Mexico City. About shows, and we kind of talked about, you know, uplifting musicians in Vancouver. I wanted to know specifically for you if you have a favorite show memory, or maybe even like a weirdest/worst show memory.
Ooh.
Preferably of your own shows, but also if you have like one that stands out, like once I was at the Skrillex show and they threw this like cake in my face, like, you know.
Slightly scary, but really fun, but also a little bit terrifying. Ooh. We played this show 2 years ago, at my old house, and we used to throw a bunch of like house party shows there. Mm-hmm. And this was like an old house, like built in the 40s old.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a bit of a mosh pit, like people were jumping.
Oh, no.
And, I could feel the floor like sagging a bit. And, after the show, like, my roommate, there was, like, chunks of her ceiling that had, like, fallen down. And so it was a little bit like, Whew, okay, that could have been, like, really bad. I mean, this is when we first started putting shows, like, it wasn't even with First Floor Collective. Yeah. This was more just the house putting on shows. So we were like, you know, it'll be fun. Whoa. But it definitely was a little bit like, ooh, like, that could have been, like, incredibly bad. That being said, it didn't happen, and it was really, really fun. Okay. But it was something that, like, I've thought about. Especially because sometimes you see videos like on Instagram of like
people
a floor. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, like, and people like die sometimes with that. Like, so it's like pretty terrifying. So that's a big one. Yeah. didn't happen. Really fun show. But, you know, also, you know, listeners, if you're living in a house built in the 40s, just keep a cap on how many people can come to it. And, you know, if you're going to have it high energy, do it in the yard, not on the floor of the second floor.
That's true.
You know, keep everyone safe.
That was a safety PSA.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's probably the most memorable show memory.
That's so fair.
Yeah.
Like, your roommate was probably like, what's all this paint in my bed?
Yeah. Well, she was up in the mosh pit, too, okay, but good. She came down after and she was like, and we're like, that could have been really bad. Yeah.
But at least she was, like, also, like, having fun, you know, having a good time.
She was, yeah. She wasn't, like, sleeping with, like, dust falling on her face. Like,
I'm really glad.
Yeah.
Okay. What about a show that you've been to? Do you have a favorite show memory?
Oh, I went to, I saw King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Oh, yeah?
In
P&E, right?
No, in Washington State.
Oh.
But same tour, though. Okay. They were playing the Gorge Amphitheater, and really high-energy show, great performers, and the barricade at, like, the very end of the show broke. And there's, like, 20,000 people, like, at this show.
Oh.
And they stopped the show. Like, they stopped the show. They basically were like, we got to get security in here. We got to, like, get this barricade fixed. Because it's like, you know, people can get, like, crushed, squash, essentially, if they, you know, fall. So they, like, you know, everyone stands up, make sure the crowd's okay. They kind of keep the energy chill. But then they start singing, like, acapellas.
Aww.
One of them FaceTimes their mom.
That's so
you know, they're, like, constantly interacting with the crowd. So it's not like they, like, were like, everyone go home, you know. And then they were like, once it was, like, fixed, they were like, okay, we got to be, like, we're going to stop it occasionally because this is going to, like, you know, if this breaks, you know, like, we got to stop it. But seems like it's okay. And they're like, you guys ready? You guys ready? And they're like, okay, light them up because they're Australian.
Yeah,
and then they're like strobe lights all on it. And then, you know, energy goes crazy. Big mosh pit again. They stopped a couple more times after that. But it was, like, beautiful because it was, like, they were immediately, like, stopped it as soon as it happened. They didn't, like, waste any time. But they also, like, really managed it well, where it didn't kill the energy at all.
Yeah.
And it also felt cool because you're like, whoa, this is kind of off script.
Yeah.
Let's see how they do this, you know. And it was beautiful. Like, they you could tell where their priorities were, but they also knew how to make it a fun show still.
I loved that.
Yeah,
I love that. I love when, like, musicians are able to, like, bring the crowd in.
Exactly.
I feel like that's such a big thing for me, especially. I think that's why I kind of lean towards smaller venues because I love the intimacy of the shows.
Yeah.
Whereas at, like, BC Place, you're like, oh, they're like tiny little ants on the other side of this, like, kilometer.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, oh, well,
I don't really feel it that much.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching them on the screen. It's like the Taylor Swift show.
Yeah.
You know, like, the people who are sitting behind the stage, like, I get the energy. But I felt kind of bad. I was like, oh.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you're paying, like, $30 for it, you know, it's like,
but some people weren't. Some people were paying thousands of dollars.
For behind stage? Ugh. Okay, well, that's just dumb.
Like, is just dumb.
Like, that's terrible.
Yeah. My friend, though, got a $16 ticket for behind the stage, and she was living her life.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, you can hear the music blaring there.
Yeah. In that case, I get it. But, like, I love, like, a Commodore or, like, a... like, Red Room, not Red Room.
Red Gate. Yeah, Red Room.
Red Rum. I think I went to Red Room once in, like, first year, like, the club downtown.
Yeah.
Had not a great experience. I was like, I'm not coming back here.
Yeah, that's
Red Gate, I love.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's what would you say is your, like, dream or maybe favorite venue to play in Vancouver?
Favorite venue. I really like the Rickshaw. Mm-hmm. I like the, like, It has a lot of character to it. Commodore would be a big dream. I'd love to play the Commodore. That would be amazing. I think, you know, it's the old ballroom floor to it. It's a great layout. The Orpheum would be crazy. Except the Orpheum seated, though. That I thing know. I don't like. So if it was like if it's some Adrian Lenker, like acoustic type set, then it's like Orpheum is amazing. But if you need to move at all, like, it's not really a great venue for that. Like, you can't have King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard playing the Orpheum.
You're just like,
yeah, everyone in their seat.
You're all having to be strapped down. Like, please stop. Okay, that's fine. I know what you mean. I feel the same way about the Queen Elizabeth. It's like, I went to see Joji there, and I was like, what are we doing?
What?
Like, why are we here? Like, go anywhere else.
Although Loki's music is a little bit slower, though, so I kind of get it. Yeah,
but
still.
Some of the songs, I was like, I'm trying to glide, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm restricted. I didn't like that.
Half the people are seated, so I'm an asshole if I, sorry, listeners. I'm an asshole if I stand up.
Exactly. Okay, your turn. Song.
I am going to plug one of the homies. But honestly, even if they weren't a homie, I would still play it. Can You Feel It by Cherry Kim.
You Feel It by Cherry Kim. Cherry spelt like a cherry?
Mm-hmm. Just like the earrings you got.
One word. Can You Feel It, Cherry Kim. Here it is.
Drive to the city. Yeah. You got your heart.
That was Cherry Kim, Can You Feel It? I could feel it. It was pretty good.
I could feel it too, yeah.
What is next for Luke Beach Bown?
Oh, we got new music coming out soon, probably within this month.
Oh my goodness.
It's a lot darker. It's a lot scarier. Way less butterflies and lollipops. We're playing a show at the Wise Hall, too, on March 20th. We're opening for this amazing artist, Zahara, which I'm very excited about. More music, and more shows.
Great. Wonderful. And Rogers Arena next week,
right? Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
I like the Wise Hall as well. I had forgotten about the Wise Hall. That's another really nice venue.
I like
venue.
It, too. This will be my first time playing it, too,
Ooh,
so I'm excited.
That's so exciting. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, very nice. And more music. Can you give us, like, maybe not a spoiler, but maybe, like, a hint as to, you know, maybe some of the contents, or maybe like a name, or maybe, you know, any sneak peeks?
One of the songs that's coming out, I do know, is called Rocket Ships Are for Ghosting People.
That's a good name. I like that. Okay, I'll be looking forward to that one. I like the name. Okay, cool. And what can people expect when they come to one of your shows?
If you like post-punk music and you like new wave stuff, you like a little bit of emo, that's probably what you're going to get.
If you like Skrillex, you're going to love it.
Yeah, maybe.
The undertones.
Yeah, exactly. If you were inspired by him, started making different music than him, you might like it.
There you go. Sometimes that's all you need.
Exactly.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful, Luke. It's been really lovely having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So that's March 20th at the Wise Hall. You can hear some of this music live. So if you've liked what you've heard, or if you like this next song, make sure you're there. Where can people get tickets?
They could get it on my link in bio.
Whoa.
Just kidding. Well, it's a show put on by Moto Live, so you'll be able to find tickets there for sure. But otherwise, if you go to ticketweb.ca/event/Zahara, you'll be able to find tickets.
Wonderful. Exciting. Can't wait. Here is our last little song, and then I will say bye-bye. I hope you have a wonderful evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you are tuning in from. Thank you so much for listening, and it has been a pleasure chatting with Luke about music, about inspiration, about Skrillex. I still find that so funny. It's such a random tie-in for me. And about shows in Vancouver, so make sure that you are supporting, shop local, you know? I feel like that's a good wrap up for the show.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Here is Floated Away, and then I'm gonna float away, and I will see you in a couple weeks. Here we go.
What if we floated away just for one day? Walking right into a dream, so did it seem. I'm lost, but I found you. Mm-hmm.
you were going through it for a while, and then I learned you were going through it, and I'm going to give you big hugs and kisses, and I bet you're just tired and you don't feel like talking too much, so I understand that. But I have you from the 23rd to the 25th, and you're welcome to stay longer. Don't rush off if you don't need to.
Hello, this is John Robb from The Membranes. You're listening to CITR on FM 101.9.